Welcome to Top Advisor Marketing, where you'll learn how to become a prolific online influencer, attract more ideal clients, and grow your practice. Brought to you by Advisor Content X, a done-for-you podcasting solution built just for trusted advisors. And now, your co-hosts of Top Advisor Marketing, Kirk Lowe and Matt Halloran.
Hello again. This is Matt Halloran for Top Advisor Marketing Radio. I am joined again today by Kirk Lowe, and we're going to dive into how to fill your advisor blog with great financial content. Content marketing, as we have said before on this show, is the key to being successful. And our guest today, who you've heard from many, many times on Top Advisor Marketing Radio, is Kirk Lowe, who helps advisors not only figure out how to create that great content, but also can create that content for you if you need. So, Kirk, welcome to the show again.
Thank you very much, Matt. This is a big topic. A lot of people talk to advisors about it. I'm not sure everybody understands how to get going, though. So we're going to teach you today how to get going on this stuff.
Well, Kirk, I agree. I really do think that there's some misinformation out there about how easy it is to do it. And it's actually kind of formulaic, and you're going to walk through those five steps to being able to simplify that content creation. So let's just go ahead and dive in.
Let's do that. So this isn't just about filling your blog. It's about filling your world with content. And the most important thing to remember here is that this is really integral for you to move your business forward. We're not going to get into that. So we're assuming that you already bought in listening to this podcast, that you know you need to be great, much better at content marketing, building relationships, influencing people, all that kind of stuff. So that can be another podcast, and we talk about that stuff all the time. So we're going to get into today how to actually create content. And this content could be different types of content. We'll get into that. But this is really important stuff. So we're assuming you're bought in. Okay. So mm-hmm. We're going to dive into the step one. The first one is you've got to be inspired to write content. I mean, coaching this for so long with advisors, and some of them just aren't inspired to, what am I going to write about? So you've got to figure out how to get inspired, because if you're not inspired, your content's going to suck really bad. And you're going to be frustrated because you're never going to feel like writing or talking about anything. Mm-hmm. And you're not off to the races by any stretch of, I'm sure you've been there with people. So
I have. Well, break down inspiration though. I mean, how do I, as a financial services professional, dig deep enough to find what really floats my boat? How do you help people discover that, Kirk?
Well, for starters, it's why we talk about branding being so important, is you got to be who you are. So you're usually going to be inspired about what you're most passionate about, what you're most educated on, and the kinds of people you like working with the most, all those things. So, we're not going to talk about branding today, but hopefully if you're in a good place and you know who you are and you know who your clients are, and then you can, that's the first place to look is, the people that I really love working with the most and doing, and what I most enjoy doing, and the things that they come to me with that I need to help them with most, what are those things? What do they need from me? So if you think about, what keep your clients up at night? What keeps you up at night? What do they fear? What do you fear with them? What do they misunderstand all the time? What do they avoid doing? What can they do themselves? What can they control? Things like that. What do your most successful clients do that the other ones don't before you've worked with them? Where do they make mistakes? How can they avoid making these mistakes? What questions can they ask themselves or advisors that they're currently working with? So if they're not working with you, what can they ask the other advisor, just to make sure you got that? I don't think my influx was great on that one. So intonations. And then how can they fix mistakes they've made?
Okay.
That's a tough one. But I know in talking to advisors for the last 18 years, 17 years, whatever. So I'll read them again. So what keeps them up at night? Maybe what keeps you up at night? Mm-hmm. What do they fear? What do they misunderstand? What do they avoid? What can they do themselves? What do the most successful clients do? Where do they make mistakes? How can they avoid mistakes? What questions can they ask themselves or the advisors they are currently working with? And how can they fix mistakes they've made?
Well, that formula, so let's break that down. That formula, if you, this actually is even a great formula for client meetings, because I want to position this in a little different way. Whereas when you're finding your inspiration, if you look at these questions that Kirk came up with here, and you're sitting down with a client, when you get done with that face-to-face meeting, great time to write some content. Walk through these questions. Okay, well, what did Mr. and Mrs. Johnson, what was their biggest fear? What kept them up at night? And then all of a sudden, you start using that as your inspiration in this formula to create meaningful and powerful content that people are going to want to read. Because as Kirk knows from doing this so long, these are the big questions that people want to hear from you in a blog format. Or am I totally missing that, Kirk?
No, it's absolutely right. I mean, you'll grow from this, what you want to write about. But that right there, that could be 25, 30 articles right there, or podcasts, depending on what you want to do, or mm-hmm. videos, right? So there's a lot of content there. But there's other things you can do too. One of the things is I encourage you, you don't just find, you have to look for places, you have to identify places to look for inspiration. So that's one of them. Those are the questions you would ask clients, and where do those happen? Those happen in meetings. So look at the meetings that you're having in the last month, and what are people talking about? What are the things that you seem to be talking about all the time? And maybe that doesn't change. Maybe it does change. But look to your clients and the meetings that you're having with them. The second one, and that could not just be clients, but what do prospects, what are they talking about when they come in? Because it may be a little bit different, and you want to be able to speak to both of them, probably even more so the prospects. But the second one is when you're reading, and hopefully you're always working on, you know, reading and seeing what's going out there in the world in your industry, and with the people that are, who are ideal clients to you, is when you see stuff or read stuff, bookmark it. So have a folder in your browser that's dedicated to ideas for content, and be constantly putting them there. And those are opportunities for you to follow people on social media later. I'm kind of get off on a tangent here, but there's some really good things that can happen from that. So always keep a rolling bookmark, if you will, of ideas. Mm-hmm. And when you're done with those ideas, you can file them away somewhere else, so that you don't keep them in hand, but say, you know, I've already written about this. So that's another great idea. So keep, and then follow, eventually you'll start recognizing that there's certain people that seem to be talking about some really interesting things. And then you can, you know, look to them more often for inspiration about what you write with clients. And that doesn't mean necessarily, you know, your competition, mm-hmm. but people that you admire, people that you learned from, or people that are in different industries but have great perspectives. I know that one of our podcast clients follows a life coach who's really famous in the Silicon Valley where they work. And he says she just frames up stuff in life, and he takes that framing, applies it to financial planning.
Yeah,
he
says, that's amazing.
He absolutely loves it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know who I'm talking about because you're the one doing the podcast. So.
Right. Yeah, they're fantastically organized, and you can tell because, again, this is about inspiration. And you know, when he is being interviewed, he is truly excited, and it comes across as being genuine, which is one of your things for them to do here, which is to show your personality while sharing your wisdom. Financial wisdom can come across as a very powerful, engaging, thoughtful, genuine discussion. It doesn't have to be dry and boring. And when you listen to some of the other podcasts, or you listen to podcasts, you're going to see that very quickly. Or when you read a great blog, especially in financial services, there are some really good bloggers that come across that do share their personality and some passion.
Yeah, I'm going to go on a quick tangent here, but it's a perfect time to do it. You just talked about being, you know, energy and not boring. One of my favorite, I was listening to the podcast you did with Veronica Dagger, and there was one thing that she said that just hits home with me. And I was so excited that I listened, grateful that I listened to that thing the whole way through, because I'm not on all the podcasts that you do. And Veronica talked about how when you're on when you're in the media, and she talks specifically, I believe, about being on video, but I think it also carries through to radio and or podcasting, is you have to be at least, I think, I don't know if she used a number, but more, you have to be more energetic because being on those forms takes away 20% of your energy.
Right.
So you, even if, yeah. So I'm trying to apply that here today.
Well, you're doing a good job. You can see that you're really bringing the storm, right? I mean, that's and she's obviously, because she's an on-air personality, she does her own podcast. She's been with The Wall Street Journal for a long time. And that was one of the big pieces of feedback that I got when I worked with her is in you guys, everybody who's listening to this, when you're creating content, people should be moved by your content. And that's this whole idea of really bringing inspiration. You have to make it exciting. So when people walk away, you have given them not only good ideas, but energy, whether that's on TV, camera, or writing. The greatest people who do that are consistently energy givers. And you have to keep that in mind.
Yeah. I think it's huge to feel connected to the content and to be passionate about what you're talking about and what you're writing about. That's when this really takes off for people, for advisors, right? When, and if you're not, I got to think that everybody listening to this podcast is really is dialed into that, right? I mean, they have, you have a passion. There's a reason you're in the business. There's a reason you're working and selling and providing advice in the areas that you specialize in. Get excited about it and share that excitement. And don't be afraid to be more animated than you might think is acceptable, you know, because of that wonderful comment that Veronica Dagger made on the last Top Advisor Marketing podcast or a previous one.
So when creating content, when you're writing, it's a little bit more difficult, but when you're recording something, whether that's video or whether that's especially audio, Kirk had said this to me, everybody, when him and I were first doing this together, because we would do Skype and he could see me and he's like, dude, your arms are flying everywhere. I'm like, well, of course, because I'm excited and I'm trying to bring that energy. Everybody needs to understand that they can also do that in curating great blog form content. If you're not, and actually Hemingway said this, and I bring this up in speeches all the time. He said, if I'm not crying when I write it, they're not going to cry when they're reading it. And it's the same thing with all of this sort of stuff. So now you've talked
That's
about
so nice that you didn't kill any animals with that story. Because most of your stories analogies are
I know, with cats, and I know, dude. You really do.
So there's a couple more do's here.
Okay,
so you know, bookmark websites in your area of expertise. Bookmark websites outside of your area of expertise, right? So if your life coach can add some inspiration, you can take their concepts over to your business. Follow experts and influencers and see how they interact with their audiences, what content they're producing. They don't have to necessarily be in your industry, but look at what some of the more successful ones are doing. Solve problems is a huge one. Help them solve problems, overcome fears, clarify challenges, and challenge conventional thinking. When you can do those things, that's a huge hit. So those are four do's. Here's a fifth one. Show your personality when you're sharing your financial wisdom. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what we're talking about. Be passionate. Find where you're passionate about and focus there. That's what a great brand is. It should be the same thing that you're doing in your podcast, your blog posts, your video, whatever you're doing. And speak to your ideal clients, not necessarily the ones that the ones that you can feel the greatest fit with. So speak to the people that you want to work with. I had this conversation this week with one of the clients at Tactibrand. How I'm worried about putting these words or this, it was a tactic, I think, out there because I'm worried about too many people calling that aren't ideal. I don't want to talk to people that aren't ideal. And I said, well, that's the whole point of everything we're doing is the look of your site, how we talk about it. I said, in your podcast, because he's going to be getting set up on a podcast here shortly, you can talk about the people that you help most. I mean, there's so many content tells people speak when you speak to your ideal clients, those are the people who will get you, right? Like I had another meeting just this morning with a guy in New York and I said, you use a lot of jargon when you talk and a lot of phrases. And he said, yeah, the truth is my clients, they get this. They're really intentional. They seem to have really good understanding of finance and terms and net and all the, you know, and they get it. He said, but I had a meeting with a guy this week who was a referral, and he wasn't really ideal. And he said, it was one of the worst meetings. He said, I walked out of there, and he said, I felt like that guy didn't have a clue what I was talking about. And I was trying to simplify it so much that I was almost lost myself. He said, Kirk, I just need to work with the people who, when I talk like this, get it. And it was a really great lesson for me, because I always try to get people to simplify things. But in this case, this guy is like, no, like a guy with 6 million just became a client, 6 million in assets just became a client last week in investable assets. And when I talk to him like this, he lights up, like he gets jacked up, because, you know, so I thought, man, you know, you gotta speak to your audience, mm-hmm. and that is his audience. So, you make sure you do that. So a couple of don'ts here, don't copy other people's ideas. And, you know, you got to make them your own. They got to be your own. You can be inspired by somebody else's ideas, but don't copy their ideas, okay? Mm-hmm. Unless you're paying them to be able to have the right to do so, right? Like if you're using Carl Richards' concepts, or if you're, you know, or if you're working, if you're a DFA advisor and you're using their, you know, their concepts, things like that, you know, or Living Balance Sheet or mm-hmm. LEAP, whatever it happens mm-hmm. to be, you can, you know, you're paying to use those. Go ahead. It's okay to curate other people's content. It's not okay to curate other people's content without giving some ideas. I always think if you're curating somebody else's content, you add value to it. And yes. that gives you, that's a good idea, for example,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
And don't ever try to become someone else. Just work on being yourself.
And you know, that's the tough one, man. I'm glad that you ended with that on the don'ts, but you really do need to be comfortable in your own personal and professional skin to come across as truly tapping into what makes you inspired and excited. So keep that one in mind, but that's a little larger of a hurdle. And I think, and Kirk, I think you've had lots of experience with this. Once people start working on their inspiration and following these other four steps that we're going to talk about, that right there, try to be yourself. That's a process. And I think step two here helps you uncover that level of comfort. Is that on the right track?
Yeah, absolutely. So once you've found your inspiration, it's going to suggest that there's a couple things you can write about. Next thing you got to do is you got to decide on what topic you're going to write on. So that's step number two, is choose your topic. So find inspiration. So when you're ready to write, you can kind of get your mind going. Second one is you got to decide what you're going to write about. Some days this is easy. Some days this is excruciating, even for the best. You've heard of writer's block,
mm-hmm.
professional writers. So don't beat up on yourself if it's the time you've dedicated to write and nothing's coming. But there are ways. A great writer has a process to overcome that. And we're going to try to give you some ideas on how to overcome that. But if it's just not working and you're not in the frame of mind, then reset your date if you can. One of the things that I find about doing podcasts is I never feel like that. Because we'll talk about this a little bit more, but the requirements needed to prepare for a podcast are less than the requirements mm-hmm. needed to write a complete article. And now, so it's easier to get there and still deliver as much value. And sometimes I think podcasts deliver more value because you're more inclined to add the little stories
mm-hmm.
that people can relate to in a podcast that you don't share.
Well, and people get to hear you. They get to have a chance to feel like they're connecting with you because they hear your voice, they hear your intonation, they hear your cadence, and that's really important. One of the things that you have in here in the article on kirklow.com that we're talking about today, it says you should keep a list of topics and around, right? I as a coach, one of the things that I try to do is you can use inspirational stuff or you can use really negative stuff. So if you're really struggling with writing or coming up with a podcast topic, go to somebody who drives you crazy in the world of financial services and spend 15 minutes listening to them talk about their tripe, and that can focus you, that can get you fired up. And that's something that I've done to help me get over writer's block is I'll go to other financial services coaching companies and I'll read their stuff and I'm like, okay, in fact, I just published an article that you just commented on that because I noticed that everybody was doing something that, or nobody's doing something that I do. And I thought that was important, but I like that. So you can use both positive and negative energy to wiggle yourself out of a rut.
Absolutely. That's great advice. I mean, yesterday I was, before we got on, started recording here today, I was telling you about a webinar I was on yesterday with a website company, and they had somebody speaking about prospecting, and the company who was the expert in prospecting apparently is a financial planning software company. And I was really thrown. I was like, okay, well, this will be interesting. And I mean, it was, the content of the webinar was okay, but there wasn't really a lot of passion behind it. It was more like they were reading. In fact, I'm pretty sure one of the presenters was actually reading the entire time. And so, you know, they didn't have a lot of passion about it. This kind of leads into my next point, is it wasn't really their expert. It wasn't what they were experts in. They had a financial planning software. They also sold articles to advisors. And that's what was the big point here. And then the website company would help you frame the articles inside their stuff. And you could track how many people are reading the article and stuff. I thought, man, you know, it's kind of a waste of time of tracking something that was never yours, was bought. And anyway, I don't think it added a lot of value to an advisor, but they weren't talking about what they were ultra passionate about. And I could really see it. I don't think it was extremely helpful to an advisor, but it got me super jacked up to talk today. And I'm going to write an article that's going to really blast people who go out there and talk about stuff that they're not the perfect expert in, because it's frustrating.
Absolutely. Okay, right. So what do we do here?
I don't talk about coaching ever.
That's true.
Because I'm not a coach.
Right.
And, but I know a lot about coaching just because I've experienced working with so many, and you especially. But I don't ever try to – I wouldn't have a webinar about coaching. I just – I'm not very good at it myself. I mean, I can – more. I'm a consultant anyway. So you're ready to get into the do list?
Yeah. Let's break down, because it's a long do list. So these are some great opportunities to help you choose your topic.
I'm going to give everybody a little tip here. I'm going to tell you where you can go to get this list, so you don't have to write all the stuff down. Okay. But I'm not going to tell you till the end of the podcast.
Beautiful. Well played, Kirk. Well played.
Well played. Yeah. So test your topic with a few clients from time to time, make sure that it's speaking to them. So don't just, you know, when you're writing, just make sure to do that. That's a good do. This is really important. This next do, choose a topic, not a title. I can't tell you how many times that I'm working with people and they think that the first thing they gotta nail is the title. It's the absolute last thing you're going to try to nail. So never work on your title first. So choose your topic. Clarify what your topic means by making a quick note. So sometimes I'm writing a whole bunch of topics and I've forgotten the specifics about what I was thinking I would say about that topic, or what the concept was. So if you're writing a bunch of topics before you decide what you're actually going to write on, make sure you, when you come back to the list, that you actually... You know, because I don't know how many times you've ever done this, but I've come back to lists before and what the heck did I mean there?
Oh my God, I live that every day.
So make sure that you're clear about the specific thing you want to talk about on that topic. The next thing, once you figure out your topic, think about how you would turn that topic into a list. This is a huge step.
Okay.
I'm going to tell everybody, people pay thousands of dollars for us to consult on this stuff. You guys are getting it all for free in this podcast. I feel good about doing that. I don't feel bad about it. I'm just letting you know that this is the process I actually take clients through. Mm-hmm. Now they're all going to fire me and just come listen to the podcast.
No, it's the same thing.
I'm sabotaging my career here.
I think one of the great things about this, and I learned this from you very early on in our relationship, is, you know, the more you give away, the more you get back. And I think both of our careers are living proof of that. But I love this. Think about how you turn your topic into the list, because, you know, I published a couple of books, and that's the only way you get through writing a book, is you have to have lists. You have to have the topics. You have to have it organized. right? And if you have those things there, and if you ask yourself consistent questions throughout the writing, all of a sudden it comes across as being a lot more clear and a lot more succinct.
Right. And lists are, people love lists because they know they can just focus on the 10 things and not read all the stuff within them to get something out of it. It's a huge, I mean, if you ever go to contentmarketinginstitute.com, every article is a list. So, you know, do the math there. That's what works. And the smartest content marketing people in the world, that's all they write about. So that's how they write. So the next one is, I think that a lot of people find inspiration from something that they're passionate about. And sometimes that's how something isn't working right. That's how my mind works. So I typically, and I don't know if this is with everybody, but for me, I tend to start writing from a negative point of view. Like, I don't like something. I got to help somebody figure out that that's not sitting with me well. I got to educate somebody on that. And so I start there, and then I slowly morph it into positive. Because nobody wants to read a bunch of negative. Well, people do read negativity, but we professionally, I think it's better to more often than not put a positive spin on it, so you don't sound like you're a negative person, right?
Mm-hmm.
So always try to do that, but don't stop the flow of an idea because it starts out negative. You can easily reframe it. Focus on topics that are important, emotionally engaging, and have a huge impact as much as possible. Focus on things that you can help them solve, or that they can solve themselves, and that you're passionate about solving for your audience. You might want to ask yourself this is a little kind of going back into what we were talking about in the previous step, but what do my clients want to solve more than anything? What is the best chance of significantly impacting my client's wealth? What are my clients blind to or unaware of that really hurt their wealth and life? What do my clients care most about in their life and in their and wealth? And how can I help adjust my clients' expectations? So those kind of ideas can kind of take your article a little bit further, or how you prepare your content. A couple of don'ts here. Don't try writing your title. We already talked about that before you start writing your actual article. The other thing is, don't worry about your lead-in either. So your lead-in article, I would leave that to the second last thing more often than not. Same with your closeout article. Just start writing the guts of what you're going to talk about.
Okay.
So get your whiteboard out, put your five ideas, and then build a couple points on every one of those ideas, create a framework for your article. Then you can go over to Mind Map and create more bullet points. Mm-hmm. And you can go to, if you're going to write the actual article, then you can go to Word or Google Docs or whatever you're using these days and start, you know, building that out. But leave your title, your intro paragraph, your closing paragraph as the last things you do. Don't focus on it. Those are a couple of really good don'ts for you.
Well, and we've already talked about step three a little bit. So and in fact, you just really dove into step three, which is start with an outline. You talked about starting with a whiteboard. Then we both use mindmeister.com as our mind mapping software. But let's talk about the outline and how you feel that helps an advisor blog in a constructive and a systematic manner.
Yeah, I can tell you from learning the hard way that just sitting down and trying to write an article is got to be one of the stupidest things I've ever done. And I did it for a lot of years. An outline. And the funny thing is we were taught better in school and university. Start with an outline. Every English teacher I ever had told me to do that. But for some reason, we just start writing, start trying to write like sentences and paragraphs and have some kind of flow of concept. And to be honest, it rarely ever works. The articles are horrible because you can't remember what the focus is. And you're like, it's like a whole bunch of tangents. So I think the whiteboard is the ultimate starting point. And the reason I do a whiteboard is because I'm not looking at my computer, because when you're looking at your computer, you're more likely to get distracted. And I like to be really focused when I'm thinking starting this off, because it's huge. It also allows me to do it really quickly. So the more interruptions I have, writing the article takes way longer, more mm-hmm. than twice as long. I do something that you're going to think is probably pretty crazy. Some people are going to really identify with this. Some people are going to think, how can you do that? I have a tool that I use that a colleague of mine introduced to me about a year and a half ago. It's called Focus at Will. It's a website. Mm-hmm. It plays what they suggest are scientifically proven sounds to help you focus. So it's called Focus at Will. Hmm. I think it's focusatwill.com. And it's like $30 a year. And this one's going to make you laugh, but a recent one they've put up there is called Coffee Shop. Hmm. Basically, it's just noise from a coffee shop. They have like drum beats and piano and all kinds of different things. They're not repetitive to the point where I find them annoying, but they really calm. They really keep my brain from wandering because that's how mm-hmm. I operate. And I find it really soothing. So I almost always turn on Focus at Will when I'm brainstorming because it helps me drown out everything else and be really focused. Mm. I find the whiteboard does the same thing because I don't have pop-ups on my computer happen and stuff mm-hmm. like that. I've actually turned off almost all my notifications on my cell phone.
Yeah.
And I turn a lot of them off on my business, but I do have people that, you know, on the team that need to talk to me and people like you that we need to figure stuff out. So I allow those kinds of notifications, but they are still an interruption to a degree. So, well, brainstorming, you know, get focused.
Hold on. So I love the focus idea. And one of the things that when I wrote my first book, they had said, you have to turn it into a routine. So you're just talking about the coffee house. So there are places in my town that I know that if I'm a little stuck and that I want to brainstorm and I really need to try to bust something out, the environment, and surprisingly enough, one of them happens to be a coffee house, like an old school college coffee house. And there's something about the energy there. But one of the other things that I do, it's interesting that you're listening to kind of drone-ish music. When I'm brainstorming or when I'm writing, I have everything turned off and I'm listening to Pandora. And depending on what kind of article I write depends on the kind of music. Like sometimes it'll be something like Rage Against the Machine, right? Where I'm just
going to say Ozzy.
Yeah, or something like that, right? You know, Metallica. You know, sometimes it's Bach. Sometimes it's Bob Marley. But you have to know how to unstick yourself, because when you get to this section, when you're really starting with an outline and you're working on the content, the framework for your content, sometimes you have to interrupt your pattern. And that's why turning off the notifications. I mean, I talk about this from a time management standpoint and coaching all the time, but find out what floats your boat, find out what makes you feel creative and go there. If you get stuck, I know we're kind of still going back to the last one here, but let's break, keep going with this, start with an outline. Cause we got a lot to cover here.
Yeah. Just on that point, I think it's really important to think about writing or creating content as a fun time in your week. And I think if you just say, hey, I'm going to listen to some Bob Marley, I'm going to chill out, I'm going to turn off my computer, and I'm going to grab a whiteboard marker, and for the next 15 minutes, me and Bob are going to get some stuff done. Stuff done. And I mean, have fun. Like, as long as you can get where you need to go quickly and feel good about it. That's a huge part of being a good writer,
yeah.
is enjoying the moment instead of dreading it.
Once again, going back to the Hemingway quote, you know, if I'm not crying when I'm writing it, they're not crying when they're reading it. And if I'm not excited and passionate and happy when I'm writing it, that is not going to be communicated. We don't want every single solitary thing that you write to be a Sylvia Plath poem, right? We want it to be, you know, something that people is palatable, understandable, and makes them feel like they're getting good value.
Yeah. By the way, I'm a huge reggae fan. I love listening to all kinds of different stuff.
Yeah.
Yep. Bob, of course, because nobody is good.
Yeah, but there isn't, but that's all right.
Yeah, that's kind of unfortunate for reggae that had one guy who was just so insanely good. Anyway, another thing here that is really important. When you start on your whiteboard, the reason I like whiteboard is because you can erase it really quick, but I never erase a whiteboard before I take a picture of it with my phone, right? Just in case I don't want to miss anything when I come back to it. It's not about having a great memory doing a whiteboard. It's about getting your ideas down as quickly as possible. So the first thing you're going to do when you start writing is you're going to mess up the organization of them because it's just going to be a dump, right? The second thing you want to do is you want to group those into points, into categories. So I wrote 15 things down, three go over. Oh, you know what? It's five groups of three. It doesn't always work out that well, but sorry, or three groups of five, whatever it happens to be. So let's say it's five groups of three. The second thing you're going to do is you're going to want to get rid of, you're going to want to decide in that list what is most important, because there may be stuff that's like really super detailed and just clutters up. You know, nobody cares about it. They may stop reading, or you may be wasting your time talking about something that's less important. At what's redundant, so look for redundant thing in your list and try to get it so that you only, like in this call, I keep jumping from point two back to one. So try to keep the redundant stuff out as much as possible. And then what's highly relevant to your audience. So just make sure everything you're talking about is, you know, relevant, right? Bob Marley is probably not super relevant to our audience, but anyway.
Hey, you never know, man. There could be a lot of huge Marley fans. But we did talk about, you know, Metallica, ACD, you know, whoever. Whatever's going to get you. Now, this next one makes me giggle because you slam me and poke me all the time about my analogies. So let's talk about analogies, Kirk, and how you feel about those when you're writing.
Yeah, I'm not the best at analogies, so I'm kind of hard on myself. But I think there's some people who are really good at them. And you know, I give you an 8 out of 10, dude.
Hey, I'll take 8 out of 10, dude. That's a solid B.
Yeah. That's pretty good. So, you know, if you can think of, if you can break down what might be a complex concept and you can, and provide an analogy that gives somebody a different perspective, then that's you've accomplished what you want to in an article. You've made somebody think differently about something that they're not thinking properly about now. So an analogy or a story to clarify a point is something you absolutely want to do, especially for those people who are really good at it, or pulling quotes, right? If a quote can help you get a point across, it's like it's a credibility, or they may have said, you know, typically if it's a quote you're pulling, it's going to have been said very eloquently or passionately. So, you know, look for those things. But you know, you also want to think about, has this happened to a client before? Is there a story I can tell? You know, frame up what could happen or what the impact might be. If it happens, or what you can, or what it might be like if you avoid that happening. So you want to frame up stuff like that too. If it's too complicated of a list, you want to break it down into multiple topics or articles, more than likely. Like if you're writing a paper and it's on 10 things, I've done this lots of times, talk about two of your, you know, if you write a paper or a really long article and it's 10 mistakes, maybe you do one mistake every podcast, or two mistakes, whatever you write. So there's lots of opportunities there. Let me see here. You know, be as clear as you can about the problem and the issue to solve it. Focus on lists. We already talked about that. When you get it all done, you know, a catchy title is really important. Use words that they can identify so they'll know what the topic is about, but frame it in a way that may sound a little bit different. Make sure you talk about it being a list in the title. It's really important. And focus on the most compelling win in the content. That's a really important part too.
Mm-hmm.
And tie in the start of your article and the end of your article and make it relevant to them. I'm going to talk about a couple of don'ts here. Don't have huge lists. I think between 5 and 10 is optimal. But the closer you get to 10, the less optimal it's getting. And over 10 is unacceptable.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Unless you want to do like a checklist, but that would be like supporting whatever you're doing.
Right.
Right. So here's, you know, 25 points you want to consider, you know, questions. Don't talk about those 25 as individual things, but you could have it as a list that they can refer to later.
Mm-hmm.
Always start in your whiteboard. Then I recommend, when you get things pretty well done on a whiteboard, you can't get into too much detail on a whiteboard, go to a mind map, shift to a mind map.
Mm-hmm.
And then from a mind map, you can decide if it's going to be a paper, an article, a podcast, a video, whatever it is.
Yep.
If you're going to do a podcast, if you're going to do live media, so a podcast or video, do not write a script.
Mm-hmm.
It'll kill everything you're doing really quick. Just like that presentation, that webinar I was listening to the other day.
Yeah.
One of the three guys was reading.
Yeah.
He was young. They were probably trying to introduce it to him. He probably should have been doing something he knew a lot about, so he didn't have to read. That's my recommendation anyway. Do not force a topic you're not ready to write about. If it's just not happening, go find another topic. Stop. Even if you're into it for 20 minutes, it's just not working, get over it. And then do not rush an article. If you know that article need something and you just need to spend a little more time with it to make it really good, focus on making it really good.
Yep.
Do not go for perfection, but do not rush an article. So don't take that the wrong way that, you know, that I'm advocating for your perfectionist, the perfectionist in you, because your staff will be not very happy with
me. Yeah. Yeah.
So on to number four here, I guess.
Right. So I want to intro this just a little bit, because this is something I've learned from you and learned from some of the top marketers around, because when you're talking about choosing your media, a lot of advisors, and we're talking about creating content, and I think everybody's mind immediately goes to writing, where there's a lot of different ways to make engaging content. And I love your do's here. So break it or kind of bring us into this choose your media, which is the outlet. And the other thing, too, and one of the things that I say often is you have to, you know, marketing has changed. You have to communicate to people in which the medium in which they live in and are comfortable using. Right. That's really, really important. There are some people who are really big infographic people, and some people who love memes, and some people who love short videos, and some people who love audio, some people who just want to sit down and read. Some people want things read to them. Right. So you have to understand that you need to know your audience well enough to hit them the way that you want to hit them. But then remember that you still need to try to focus on some other ways to hook some other people in. So let's talk about, how do you choose the media? And over your last 20 years of doing this, Kirk, what have your solutions? What has come up from that?
So there's a couple of different things to think about. There's the person, there's the audience, and then there's the content. So the person is, you know what, I'm really comfortable doing video. And I think I get really excited about that. I think that, you know, I'd like to explore that. You know, I really love talking. I hate myself on video. I played hockey. My nose got busted too many times. Just don't want to, you know, don't like that. I'm going to stick with talking. I really love talking. Or, you know what? I love getting my idea. I'm so much better at communicating an idea when I get a chance to slowly write it out and, you know, add some diagrams, stuff like that. So I think I'm going to be a writer. So that's just based on the person, right? I have a lot of references back to hockey. Sorry, I am Canadian.
You are. Yes, you are Canadian.
Three of my four kids play hockey. So the person is the first one. The second one is the content. So certain content is more suited to be displayed or distributed or formed, if you will, in different mediums. So a good example of this, if you want to share, if there's something visual about what you're doing, a video obviously be way better. If it's really complex, might want to demo it, or, you know, you want to simplify as much as you can. But if it's something really simple, maybe you can use a diagram. So maybe that could be end up being like an infographic that you describe something, because it is visually, it's just take somebody through a story. And so, or if it's something that you need to tell a lot of stories about and frame and create a lot of passion on it, because it's more emotionally engaging. Sometimes that would be better to be talking or doing video than writing. And then sometimes if there's a lot of points and a lot of bullets like this, you can write like this podcast, which was originally a blog post, and I'll share that with you in a little bit. You can write it out as a blog post or an article or a paper or what have you. In some cases, it could actually end up being a book. This might feel like at this point, this could have been a book.
keep going, man. We're on a roll. Keep going.
I'm really good at making fun of myself. But anyway, so some do's here. Start with what you're comfortable with, right? If I think most advisors, very quickly, they pick up the podcasting. Probably the easiest of all the mediums that I've ever come across in my 17 plus years, which is why we're always so jacked up about doing podcasts for advisors. Try media that you're not comfortable with, so you can get better at it, because sometimes you might not realize. And, you know, to my last point, you know, podcasting is something that advisors may not think they're good at, but they actually get comfortable really quick, mm-hmm. especially when you're at the helm with them. Consider what your audience would prefer. So, you know, if your audience, will feel good about podcasting or would much prefer to read than listen, or much prefer to watch, or much prefer, snippet, or visual, or, you know, things like that. I mean, if the younger your audience is, you know, Snapchat's going to be the way to go, or Instagram, or, you know, if you got a lot, you know, or maybe it's Pinterest, you know, putting stuff that works in those areas. But on Pinterest, you can put any kind of medium.
Yep.
But anyway, that's more about the network and stuff like that, but the channel to distribute it through. But anyway, and sometimes just using a whole bunch of different mediums is a really good idea, because your audience, depending on where they're at, what day it is, or where they decide they're going to come across you, something different may inspire them. You know what? It's been a long day. I don't want to read. I'm going in the car. I'm going to get on the subway, or I'm at the swimming pool, you know, watching my kid, or at the track. I'm just going to sit here and listen. I don't want to read, but I'll sit here and listen to something. So a podcast or video might work perfectly in those cases. So I think it's a great idea, if you can, to create multiple media formats. And that's one of the things that we do at Advisor Content X, insert plug, is that we take an audio podcast and turn it into audio, video, reading, and visual quote memes, so pictures and quotes and stuff like that. So I think that's a really good idea for advisors. Very difficult to do that on your own, but if you get some help, it's achievable, no doubt. Always make sure everything's at a high level quality, whether no matter what you're doing. Put good effort into it. Make sure it's extremely professional. Mm-hmm. That is your brand, right? Being that professional.
You know, I want to touch on that real quick, because when I was writing at the beginning of my career, I was making terrible grammatical errors and spelling mistakes. And I had a couple of people who said, you know what, dude, you should probably just stop writing because you're messing up. And so now what I do is I have a proofreader and an editor that looks at absolutely everything and just tightens it up grammatically. And the interaction with my articles and my blog posts have gotten much, much better. And it makes me come across as even more organized and well-spoken, just because I have somebody who's going to take an extra second to look at it. Now, this last one here, I want to touch on this, because there's a great whiteboard solution that is very inexpensive, because that's your last do here, is use visual tactics to convey points. There's a great website called Fiverr, F-I-V-E-R-R. And you can get somebody from all over the world to help create a whiteboard video that's incredibly inexpensive, and people love it. And it's still very fresh and new, and again, it's a great way to convey your point. So what other visual tactics do you deploy when you're working with a client, Kirk?
Well, you don't know it, but you just gave the other one, because mine didn't actually mean what you just said. So
really?
A whiteboard video. Yeah. What I meant by that is do a video of you in front of your own whiteboard, diagramming it.
Right. That's what you've done on kirklow.com.
Yeah. But I thought what you just meant was hire somebody at Fiverr to do one of those drawing.
Yeah, that's right.
Videos.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. Which is on a whiteboard, but it's an animated video. This one I was talking about you live action.
Ah, gotcha.
Yeah. I do those. I do those just to communicate with clients sometimes. So I did this the other day. I was trying to communicate to an advisor how I think they should create a video series. And I said, here's one of the videos I think you ought to create. And I just did the video on my whiteboard really quick. And I emailed it to him, which was quite easy. And I haven't heard back from him yet. So hopefully it went okay, but
we'll see.
Yeah. Anyway. So, I mean, you know, use a whiteboard. You know, visual stuff can just drive home your point a lot more. And sometimes you just need to go video. So consider that. There's another way you can do it too, whereas you can screencast.
Yep.
So there's a tool called screencastomatic.com.
That's what I use.
Screencast-o-matic.com. And I think it's $15 for a year, and that software works great. So what you can do is you can have a video on you, put it in the corner, mm-hmm. have it showing whatever part of your screen you want to do. So if it's a PowerPoint or a website or a mind map you want to show, and have your picture, or you can move your picture around, or you can turn the video off of yourself, mm-hmm. and you can just talk and record, and then you can post that. So that's a really easy way to get a video up there if you've got something visual that you need to share and
just
show them.
Just pay attention to your background. I did one called Minute with Matt, which is a 30-day video coaching program. And the first run that I had, I noticed that it looked like I was, you know, recording in my bedroom. So I made sure that, you know, whatever the video camera is showing behind you is really important. And that really jumps into this don't aspect, because so many people try to produce video or audio and the quality is so poor, people can't get through it, which is one of the reasons why when you join Advisor Content X, we get you and help you set up all of your audio equipment. And in fact, Kirk, I want to digress very quickly because I just interviewed a guy yesterday. We bought him a microphone, right? The same microphone you and I are using right now with the same pop filter and all of that stuff. He was in north of Toronto, right? And I'm in Michigan, and swear to God, it sounded like we were sitting right next to each other. Great equipment, especially with audio and video. In fact, I just spoke at a NAFA meeting earlier this morning, and I tried to video record it, and halfway through my video pooped out. So you have to have good quality stuff, guys, and spend a little bit of extra money to get a good camera, to get a good mic, because if not, it's going to really reflect on you negatively.
Yeah. Next week, we're going to do a podcast on podcasting equipment. Okay.
Cool.
I don't know what number episode that's going to be because I'm not keeping track of them right now, but we're going to do that.
Is that your job or my job?
I don't know. We got to find somebody to do that job because we're not doing it. Because I just realized none of ours have. We were doing that one with our old podcast that we've brought new life into this one. But we got to do that.
All right. Well, we're coming up on an hour, so we need to start wrapping this up. Let's go through step five: produce and package content.
But they're hanging around because I told them they wouldn't have to take any notes because I was going to give.
But let's be respectful of our wonderful audience time. You got 9 minutes, buddy. Let's go.
Okay. So a couple of don'ts there: do a video with poor equipment or lighting, which you just went into. It's not up to the standards that people, your audience would expect, and overcomplicate producing content. Because if you overcomplicate it, you're not ever going to get it out the door, right? So avoid those things. So we're on to number five. Is that quick enough?
Well, yeah, but now you have 8 minutes. So let's go.
So number five is produce and package content. So when you're going to get it, you got to spend time to make sure the stuff looks and feels, sounds really good. And it's not that hard. Text formatting is huge. I see this all the time. People write a blog post and it's just a whole bunch of paragraphs and they all look the same. Do not do that. That you just killed your article right there. If it's the best article in the world and it doesn't have good formatting, it's done. So how do you do that? Go to my website, take a look. Like this post is got all kinds of formatting.
It's a perfect example of what you're talking about here.
Do, don't. I've got the steps all highlighted. I've got a one sentence description under each of the steps, typically of, you know, what this is. And then I jump right into bullet points. And then I've got little, you know, what I do sometimes, if I got a couple paragraphs in a row, I say, what are these really about? And I pull it out and I put a title for those two paragraphs. So, this is what I'm going to, you know, do I want to read these two paragraphs? Or if I don't want to, at least I know what was in them.
Well, right. But you've got different font sizes. I mean, you've got all sorts of stuff. And in fact, you did, you helped create a white paper for one of your clients who I just did a podcast for. And it just looks like $1 million, dude. It's got call outs, different colors, different font sizes. My eyes are drawn to exactly what they should be drawn to get the point across. And you do that great. So the website he's talking about is kirklowe.com. And if you just click on the blog section, you're going to see that, you know, Kirk really does practice what he preaches here.
Yeah. So the article, what's the article name again? Five
steps.
There you go.
To creating great content. That's not it. Great financial content. Wow, I did have that right.
I thought you were reading it and I was thinking, man, is he ever reading slow? He's doing this to really drive.
No, I totally was just pulling. Yeah, well, you know, that's the dramatic pause. Acting, brilliant. Okay, keep going. All right, producing package content. You talked about the formatting and design style. What else do they need to pay attention to?
Organizing your thoughts, using lists, highlighting sections. And like I said, bringing out like a part of a couple paragraphs and making it like a title for those couple paragraphs. grabbing like half of a quote that's really engaging or intriguing and just throwing the quote in the middle above or, you know, above or below that, where the quote, the longer, more detailed quote happened, little things like that can be absolutely huge. It doesn't take that much time after your blog post is done, if that's what you're doing, to pull those things out. And you can do, you know, so it doesn't take a lot of time. And, you know, have an idea of my title is this size, my subcategories are this size, my, you know, my quotes are this size. And then when you have kind of like a style guide to go from, then you can just quickly get those done. I think I'm a little bit all over the place, but that's just because.
No, I think that makes a lot of sense. I think that people really need to keep that stuff in mind.
Yep. So things about producing and packaging content, embrace the opportunity to introduce other articles, offers, or videos that you've done or that other people have. So try to add value when you're packaging and think about, you know what, I referred to something in here. I'm going to put a little link to that right down here. So when you can add more value and when you're actually to the formatting stage, try to add those things. Another thing, sorry, I just skipped on, is keep to your brand's style guide. So colors, fonts, how much white space, you know, if you have a lot of white space in a lot of your marketing, make sure you got white space in your blog post too, right?
Yep.
Make sure you use your logo properly, that you have really good imagery. Some people rush a lot when they do imagery. But it's worth getting a good graphic. Another thing I really highly recommend is if you're doing a blog post, put the title of your article or the main point of your article in a couple of words. I'd say anywhere from 3 to 7 words. 7 would be really pushing it. Put that actually in your image that's going to go, because people love that when your image actually has the title Yep. or the main point of the article in it. I do that a lot. And I find it's really, really separates you from your competitors too. It just takes a little bit. You actually know where to go do that. Buffer is a social tool, and they have a little tool, offshoot tool they have called Pablo.
For memes.
Yeah. And for Pablo, you can go do, they have all kinds of images, or you can add your own. Do not steal imagery ever. That will haunt you. I tell you eventually,
Getty
Images or somebody like that will catch up to you, and they are
aggressive,
they are relentless. Yep. Yes. And they've come after me by accident before. And it was like excruciating because I had to prove it wasn't even something we used, but it was really annoying. Mm. Dog on a bone. See, I didn't hurt any animals with that saying. Dog on a bone. Like a fly on. Oh, she can't go there.
No, don't go there.
On a cow.
Fly on a cow? Oh, come on.
So, cross promotion, opportunities. If you can lead them to other places or other call to actions, keep that in mind. Mm-hmm. I already said add text imagery, keep a certain standard of design when you're doing these things, so they're all consistent, produce a couple pieces of content a month, at least I'd say a minimum of 2 blog posts a month or poor podcasts. I think that's a good place. If you can turn that into a whole bunch of little things, then that seems to be a lot more content. So if you do a blog post, you can create a quote meme from it.
Yep.
So take a really interesting quote or thought or concept from it, put it on a picture of a river or something like that, if that's meaningful, and just throw that up on your website. Great big picture with a really important saying that relates to your audience, and then maybe down somewhere else and that below that picture you say here's the full article here. Something like that. So that's really what you call turning one piece of content into many pieces of content. Whenever you can take one thing and turn it into a whole bunch more without having to do a lot of work, that's huge.
Yeah,
that's a point of leverage for content. That's exactly what Advisor Content X does. But if you can do it yourself, there's no way that this is something you absolutely need to hire somebody to do. If you can't do it, you don't have time or the expertise, you don't want to deal with it, you can hire somebody to do it, but you can do it yourself. Mm-hmm. Just gave you one perfect example there. Take a couple sayings, put them on a picture of a river or a mountain or something, or a cat, something that you really like and your clients can identify with. Throw it out in social media. People will see it and read it.
And they click on it.
And they click on that stuff. Right. People love pictures. So don't take shortcuts on making your content look great. I'm not advocating for you perfectionists to never get anything out the door because you're trying to always make it perfect, but it's got to create a standard or a threshold and stick with that.
Yep. All right. What are your
then right underneath that? I have a point in my article: be a perfectionist about packaging. Doesn't mean perfect, but make sure it's hits that standard.
Well, that's one of the things. So many people get that analysis paralysis, and we need to get that out of the industry. It's better for you to write something, get it out, get it to compliance, have them chop it up, go ahead and make corrections, and get it out to your audience. And if you follow the things that we've talked about today, it's going to be a lot easier for you to produce that content. You know, make sure that you find your inspiration. Number two, choose your topic. Number three, start with an outline. Four, choose the media. And five, produce and package content. Now, Kirk, you have just a few seconds left. Where can they find this article so that they can go back and listen to this and follow along?
Yep. So kirklowe.com, click on blog, because that's where all the archives of all my blog posts are, and look for the 5 ways to create great content.
Fantastic. Well, Kirk, thank you very much for your thought leadership. We all really do appreciate it. And we're gonna do a couple of podcasts that we sprinkled in there. And one of the next ones we're going to do is really what kind of equipment and how to execute really a magnificent podcast. Any closing thoughts?
None at all. Just, well, yes, I do.
All right. What is it?
Appreciate how important content is in your business and share it generously. And I guarantee you within 12 months of launching and integrating this into your business, you'll start seeing beautiful little wins. Yeah. And if you don't examine what you're doing, give me a call, listen to more of our podcast. We'll help you figure it out. But there's no doubt that this is marketing. Yeah. This isn't like a new tactic. I wonder if this will work. This is it. This is marketing, mm-hmm. right? It's not a type of marketing that maybe is it. It's, you know, people think that, you know, social media, it's just, you know, social media is just a way to communicate mm-hmm. and stay in touch with people and share who you really are and see how much you actually really know, or you've just been faking it. Lots of our listeners are not fakers.
That's right.
So get out there and show that you're not one of these people who's, you know, posing as a financial advisor and just selling crap, but are actually advice givers. Yeah. Have a ton of value and share that stuff with them, and it'll change your business forever.
That's fantastic. Well, Kirk, thank you very much for being on the show today on Top Advisor Marketing Radio. Stay tuned for lots of other magnificent people. We have some great guests coming up down the pipeline, not just Kirk Lowe, even though he really does happen to be the thought leader when it comes to marketing. We're bringing on a whole bunch of other people who have been very, very successful, either personally or they teach advisors, much like Kirk does, professionally, how to be better marketers. For Top Advisor Marketing Radio, my name's Matt Hallard for Kirk Lowe, and I'll see you on the other side of the mic.